right. He doesn't.
Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. We thank everybody for showing up. New people that are here, not necessarily new, but it's been a while since we saw them. From Arkansas, is that where you're at?
Arkansas.
And a couple from our op class, Don and his wife, Tammy. But anyway, today we're going to continue on Dave Barnes's. I don't know how many more lessons he's got, maybe a year's worth, I don't know. But is that right, Dave?
Easily,
huh? But anyway, we're going to continue on that shortly. Anybody got anything they want to say before we get started? No. Okay.
Let them know there's a paper there. If they don't have a paper and outline, it's the next ones right there.
There's some paper outlines over here in case you don't have them right six to Gil. Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. But anyway, without further ado, Brother Dave Barnes, come on up.
All righty. Such a fancy introduction there. Test 1, 2, yeah, keep that from feedback a little bit. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah, it's better. Perfect. First of all, I'm glad to be here to finish this study that we started last week. We got halfway through it. I was pleased with that. That tends to happen. We get started and boy, it takes all of a sudden you have no time left. But also, what Byron was talking about, if anybody wants any of our materials, anything that I've taught, anything that I teach, it all goes into one repository. It's online. I can send you the link to it. There's honestly about 250 messages there, something like that. And you're more than welcome to use them. That's the point. The point is, we have people that do send me emails saying, hey, I'd like this. I send a link. Use it for your own. You know, take it, fine tune it, do whatever you want. They're all word processing. They're all in Word. And put them out that way, okay? That way they're available for you to use. There's no secrets to any of this. So we're continuing with our spiritual maturity creates peace and joy. Spiritual maturity, what is that term? Well, actually, let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. We thank you for the people that are here. We ask you to quiet our hearts and open our minds so we can see this and understand it and then share it with others. In your name, amen. Spiritual maturity, for a lot of people, that's like, oh, I'm giving out towels, I'm going down the aisle for Jesus, I'm doing my, you know, I'm tithing. There's all sorts of things that people call maturity that have nothing to do with maturity. They have to do with religion. Religion will set you up in all sorts of rituals and things you need to do. Maturity is when you understand your relationship to God and you live accordingly. I've got to say this, if you've never studied or you have not been in these kinds of studies, that's where you're going to find maturity. You're not going to find maturity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to find maturity in the modern religious system. They're going to give you their take on everything. It's not the take from the Bible. It's their take. That's why they fight so much. How many denominations are there in the Baptist? You know, like 7,000 of them, okay? The reality is, going back to your Bible is where you need to be. Do you know what maturity really is? When you study the Bible and you look at your family and your parents and your former pastor and say, I'm sorry, I see it differently. That's very hard for people to do. They grew up with parents, they grew up with grandparents. This is what my grandma did. My grandma believed this, whatever, etc. And they stay with it. Maturity is when you understand, when you study and you see it. And just like in this class, if there's anything I teach, you look it up and study it. If you see it differently, tell me about it. Let's talk. I want to learn too. I want to grow too. I'm not done doing that. I've got a long way to go still. Even though I do look like I'm 700 years old, I'm only 640. So I've got a little time left before I have to go away. Today I felt taller when I got up. Did I not? I said it to Irma. I got out of bed and I said, I feel taller today. I don't know what that means, but you guys are going to have to put up with it during the class here. I'm taller. Do I look taller?
You do.
There, thank you. Thank you. You guys are very kind. I appreciate that. All right.
Anything you want.
That's right. We actually started last week, and on your outline, we're toward the bottom of it. I took a look at it before I got into my notes here. Toward the bottom of it, where we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17 through 19, we'll pick it up from there after last week. We did this verse last week, but I want to start with this today. Give you a chance to turn to that. Okay, understanding our motivation is also important to understand when it comes to rewards. There are things that are going to be given out, but they're not going to be given out by performance. I did this for Jesus. They're going to be given out when you teach others, when you share with others, and your motivation's the right place. Let's look at the verses. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 through 19. For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power of the gospel. What is he saying there? It sounds kind of confusing. He's saying that it's got to be pure. He's saying that what I have to deliver has to be pure, not inundated with my opinion, not with other things that people are throwing in, not with what religion teaches, but what is pure? What is the gospel? What is our position in Christ? Do I stand perfected before Christ, or do I stand as a symbol of perfection that I got to perform to get there? A lot of times religion says, when you accept Christ for your salvation, you're now in the ball game, but you better behave or else. That's really what happens. And that's not the reality. The reality is when I stand before God in Christ, he sees no sin, ever. The ones I did, the ones I did this morning, the ones I'm doing this afternoon, the ones I'm going to do in the next 60 years that I live. Okay? That's the reality. We're perfected in Christ. And that becomes our energy and our motivation. And I believe Paul's talking about that here. What is your motivation when you're out there trying to help others? Is it to gain favor with the world? Is it to gain money, as in a lot of religious folks do? Or is it to change the world and people's salvation? That's the goal. The rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of it is all a waste on the side. Very important to understand that. For though I be free of all men, yet if I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain more. Paul was looking at the world and saying, what can I do to get these folks' attention? Do I go out and judge people? Do I say, you're wrong and I'm right? No. I say, here's God's love. This is what I know. Give me your thoughts on it. Let's talk about it. Because so often people, especially in religion and politics, they're going to judge each other. How many people at the Thanksgiving table got in a good political discussion about something? Hopefully not too many. The reality is this. When we share the love of Christ, that becomes our motivation. That becomes people's interest in it. People are not interested in being judged. They're interested in being loved. And it's so important to understand that. If you want to get the gospel message out, you do it with love instead of judgment. It's the only way it's going to work, okay? I've got written down here. Now, this is how we're to act for Christ. Our focus must be on the gospel of God's grace, not ourselves. Sadly, many people, and ministries especially, are wrapped up in bettering themselves and promoting their ministries instead of the gospel of grace. Our reward is the opportunity to love and serve Christ. Our reward is God's grace that has already been given to us. If you don't stand full of joy because of what God's already done for you, you haven't studied it enough or looked at it enough or stopped a minute to slow it down. If you don't feel tall like I did this morning for some reason, you need to be tall in Christ. I'm at peace with my Creator no matter what. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what I deal with, no matter my business, no matter my clients, my friends, my family, it doesn't matter. I'm at peace with my Creator, and that is a wonderful place to be. But that comes from understanding. That's what these classes are all about. Understand our position in Christ, and that is maturity. Then you can stand against your family and friends and mouths and say, I understand where you're coming from, but I see it this way. Let me share it with you. Say to your family and friends, show me in the Bible where this is wrong, because this is what I've studied, and this is what I've learned, and this is where I am coming from. In a loving way, not, you're wrong, and we're doing it my way or the highway. Okay? It's not going to work. But when you share the love of Christ, sometimes it takes years. It has been years later when people have come to me and said, you know, what you talked about way back then, when you were just a wee little lad, it made sense to me finally. You never know, okay? But guess what? If you're coming from a position of love, you're in a different place altogether than the world. So you're going to stand out, okay? Helping people. Somebody's got a problem on the side of the road, stop and help them. We did something the other day. What was it? I can't remember now. Doesn't matter. Opportunities are everywhere. And when you get a chance, you do something to make a difference, okay? Even when we have times of trouble, we can see things in a positive light. That's maturity. This understanding is what spiritual maturity will bring. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. See how easy it is for me. I have it all written down. Yeah. And these are available again. Just let me know. I'll send you the link to all these messages. I do change them. So sometimes there'll be two or three messages in that pile of messages. Go to the most current version of it if you're looking them up. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
I do. And it's a wonderful place to be in, a great place to think, and a great place to come from when you see that and understand it. Does that mean when I get a flat tire, or I get a ticket, or I get all these other crazy things that happen in the world, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. The three-day rule, Bob, right?
Right.
Yeah, we just got into that today. Do you know what the three-day rule is? I brought it up in class before. When a problem comes into your life, unless somebody's dying or bleeding out and you got to deal with it, like right now, the house is on fire, give it 3 days. Just let it go for 3 days. And guess what? 90% of the time, it's going to solve itself. Or at least by 3 days, you're going to know exactly what direction to go. And it's going to be a whole lot easier on you because you're not stressing it out. I don't have to worry about this issue. I got 2 more days. And finally, it figures a way to go. It's just a wonderful place to be. Okay? And know that all things work together for them that are good, that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, this is great, this helps us understand this. Before he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you're in this class, and you're a saved individual, you were predestined to be here. As crazy as that sounds, as simple as that sounds, as complex as that sounds, that's the reality. I was predestined to stand up here in my very sexy t-shirt and present this stuff to you guys. What a place to be, though. Think about how wonderful we are to have that. Our eternity is set, no matter what. I mean, I'm getting a bit older. I'm having some medical issues, but I'm taller today. I'm having medical issues. And the reality is, I'm going to go one day. Poof. Hopefully, don't make it hurt, right? It's Irma's thing.
But, same time.
Yeah, together. Of course, together, and right. Don't make it hurt. Right. But it's going to happen. And guess what? So what? All right? When I'm in the box, though, you guys can stop by and say hi, whatever, okay, on the way out. But I'm in a better place, a much better place. And we all would be. And we'll all be up there together. What a difference. We can't even imagine what it's like. We were talking about that last night. What is heaven going to be? What's our bodies going to be like? We're going to be able to recognize each other, get that much. But other than that, I don't know what we're going to have, you know. As is his, you follow me? It'll be like Christ. Who knows? Anyway, what a great place to be. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I've got written down, wow, and yes. Okay? You're here because you were predestined to be here. You're here because you didn't settle for religion. It was frustrating to you. You wanted more. You kept seeking. You kept seeking. You kept looking. You kept looking. You didn't settle. Millions and millions of people settle. The 20 minutes of the pastor, and they do their thing, and they walk the aisle for Jesus, or whatever else they do, religion, but not true spirituality. And they're lost for eternity. And millions and billions of people that think they're going to go to heaven are not going to be there. It's going to be a lot less than we can imagine. Not because God's being evil, because God said, this is my program, my son did it all. And if you don't accept that he did it all, guess what? I don't want you. Okay? If we're adding to that message that it's more than what God did, I've got to do this to be happy with God, I've got to do this for my salvation, I'm not saved unless I'm baptized, there's a million things in religion, a million. If you believe any of those, you're gone. It's very hard to accept the simplicity of Christ because your ego has to go away. There's no longer anything for David to do. Nothing to win favor with God. What Christ did, I keep doing that, there's nothing on the board here. What Christ did is the thing that matters. Okay? And if we accept the finished work of Christ, let's look at the verses real quick. We've got to get to this because it's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. We do these verses all the time. But it's important we do them. It's important that we understand what they mean. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is Paul talking. He's our apostle. Which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein ye stand. Yeah, that's right, we stand there. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first all of that which was received, and how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Bingo, that's the gospel here, and was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's where our justification comes from. Romans chapter 4:28 says, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. If you don't understand that and you don't accept that, you're not going to heaven. It's as simple as that. You certainly aren't going to become mature in your relationship to God. Okay? It's not going to happen. It's that simple, but it is also that hard, especially when you grew up with grandma who said, da 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 da, and mom did this and this and this, and dad did this and this and this, and salvation is this and this and this, according to my pastor. Study it for yourself. If you can find what they're teaching you in the Bible, follow it. But you won't find it there if you study. It doesn't exist. It's man-made because it controls people. Okay? Very sad, but that's the reality, okay? We are all living out what God would have us to be, our individual journeys. We are all traveling down different roads, but we will all end up in the same place. We are called out, justified, and glorified. Very, very true. And a great place to be. God also provides a way to be comforted through tough times. All right. Dave's three-day rule may not be the answer here, but let's take a look at the verses. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Give you guys a second to flip there. You got some of you are already there. You're looking at the outline ahead of time. That's a good thing. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. All right, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's tough to do when things are difficult, but it's true. Let your moderations or your needs be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In other words, not worry about things, but what? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? You converse with him. God, I don't like this. I need some help here. Whatever it might be. Okay? What happens when that goes down? In verse 7, excuse me, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, more than you can understand, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do we get the answer we want? Does God solve our problem? Do we do the hocus pocus and things go away? No. We pray to God and say, look, here's the difficulty I'm dealing with. I need some help with it. What can I do? Give me direction. Give me your thoughts. Give me whatever. And the peace, we can have the peace. We may not have the solution, but we can have the peace. That's as good as it gets. Yes?
He tells you
what to do. Go ahead and read it because it's not on my paper here. Oh, yeah, I guess I do have it, actually. It is on my paper. Go ahead. Yep, and then there's no reason we should be anxious and uneasy, I've got written, when we can claim the peace and it's all focused. And then verse 8 is right here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever they're true, whatsoever things are honest, flip my page here, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, yep, as much as it's difficult for guys especially to do that, because we're going to solve every problem in the world, okay? My wife comes up with a problem, the kids come up with a problem, the job comes up with a job. We're going to solve that problem because that's what we are. We're guys. We're going to solve it. Yeah, sometimes we can't do that. Boy, that's hard to admit. It even hurts when I say that. It just shoots my heart right there, boy. I'm telling you. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I've got 9 employees. I'm putting out problems all day long. Yeah, after 3 days. Sometimes quicker. But the reality is, God's in control. As many times as I thought I was going to go bankrupt and get wiped out of business, I haven't yet. There have been plenty of those times. Irma's lived through a couple of them. You know, the reality is sometimes things don't go well.
She's still smiling.
She is still smiling. She realizes she puts up with it, and that's a good thing. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul lays it out. Do we follow it? No. Oh, this is great. They've actually got some Kleenex up here for me. Excuse me. shall be with you. You believe that? Do you understand that? Do you feel that? When we pray about things, we can have that peace. We may not fully accept that peace. But it's there for us. Okay? You ladies got a much better job at doing that, you know? Because you know we're never going to figure it out anyway, so you just go with the peace thing. That's it. How true is that? All right, let's go to Colossians verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. This is how we are to live. And again, you know, maturity is not about winning favor with God by doing things. It's not about winning favor with each other by doing things. It is understanding our position. It is living out that position, which gives us the energy to do good things. That's what we're meant to do, and that's a positive thing. Let's go to Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, even when you're going through the drive-in and they mess up your dinner again, try to have some humbleness there, okay? Try not to be so mean. All right, anyway, it's so true. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, there's a tough one, isn't it? When somebody's done something wrong to you that you think you've been wronged or whatever the case may be, forgiving them for it. Sometimes you just have to look at it and go, I don't understand it, but it is what it is. Okay? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. Where's our focus? It's on creating harmony and love. It's not on creating derision. It's not on creating control, which is what religion does. That's not maturity. That's control. There's a world of difference in those two. Let's see what verse I was in here. 14. Oh, yeah. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let peace and God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called to one body, and be thankful. When we reflect the love of Christ to the world, everything in our life changes, because we're not focused on ourselves. We're focused on what can I do, who can I help, what's the situation, where am I at, whatever it might be. It does change everything. It's a wonderful thing. Story, you never know what happens. Again, I share these things with you so you realize sometimes it's months later that things happen after you've been positive in some way. A client of mine and I go into Arby's roast beef up on Highway 29 to get lunch. And surprise, Elma's running the counter. That's great. You know, so we had a little conversation. And the girl at the counter is also a lady that I helped pay for her brakes in her car. So this woman's like, oh my God, she's going crazy. The point is, we all share the love of Christ. It wasn't me that did it. It was Christ. It was reflecting the love of God. Alma and I talked about it right in front of this lady, and we talked about it so she would see it again. And I'm sure she's seen it from Alma before. Opportunities are around us all the time. You never know the impact they're going to have. She did give us free lunch. That's kind of nice. My client was going to pay for it, but she gave us free lunch. Oh. Yes, impact my client. Yes, very much so. Him and I have talked many times. He is a Christian, but I'm not sure he fully understands. We have conversations all the time. This was an opportunity to do that. He's like, you do that all the time. Oh, yeah, I do. Let's talk about it. Okay, while we were eating our free lunch. It was easy to talk about. We're so lucky to be able to do that in some ways. And it is, it's you know, it's having people over for Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving. Had a bunch of people over. Every year, Irma and I go, oh, Thanksgiving's coming up. What are we going to do? I don't know. We're just going to do our something. We can do something just for ourselves. That's what we always say. Then about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, hey, you got a place to go? No, come on now. You got a place to go? Come on now. Boom, all of a sudden we have all these people. And then Irma waits till the last minute to buy a turkey, and we almost didn't have a big enough one. We got no room in our freezer. So she bought her turkey last minute, and all we could get was a 14-pounder. That was 15-pounder. It worked. That's right. We had leftovers, and that was good. But that was fun. I love being able to do things wonderfully for people. I get a lot of joy out of that, whether they do or not. If my cooking doesn't settle with them well, that's something got to work out.
You know. Living the golden rule.
There we go, the golden rule. But opportunities are everywhere, and we need to make sure we understand that. If peace and joy of God are not real in your life, focus back to the simple understanding of the grace of God. Focus back to the joy and peace that fills your soul when you believe. Remember that? Remember when it finally made sense and it clicked? That relief, that joy, that peace you had. Let's focus in the right place. And by the faith, accepted the finished work of Christ for your salvation. It was the most significant point in your life. Okay? Where the joy is. Where there is peace. When it finally made sense. It happened to me very, very young. Seventh grade, Halloween night, 1972. And I got it. It was like, wow. You know? Now, did I know anything about grace? No. Did I understand anything more than that salvation? No. I had a lot to learn, but that was the starting point. It is for all of us. Some people have been in this class forever, and then they finally get it. Boy, they've got all that learning already started. How lucky is that? Okay? Look back at that point, because that's what we need to be at, okay? It is not performing to win favor with God, and that's not maturity, but rather it's God's love toward us that becomes the motivation for everything we do. Can we do that? No. Should we do that? Yes. There are many times that I don't feel very motivated because something's going on that I don't like or whatever deal. But but we know better. And if you want that peace and joy, let's change your thinking. Let's look at it from a different point of view. That's difficult to do sometimes. Paul explains this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. All right. I'm doing okay, Tom? Why did you have a great? That Christ, starting with verse 17, that was Brian says, the Bible says, verse 17, there we go, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love. How do you get that way? Study. Come to class. Understand things from the correct perspective. All right? Dispensation of grace. Understand it. The more you know, the more you can give it away, the more peace and knowledge you'll have, okay? Maybe to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It kind of covers everything, doesn't it? Do I understand all that yet? No. I haven't comprehended all of it with the saints. There's a whole lot more I got to learn. But I'm moving along. And that's the point. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul talks about these things, but we don't do them. We don't make them part of our lives. We stop and don't think about them. We just react. We just deal with the world in terms that we were taught to deal with it when we were 16 years old. You know, when somebody does this, you got to get angry. You got to do this about them. They can't do that to me. What's going on with that? And on you go, okay? Do we all have perfect families? Raise your hand if your family's perfect. Let me hear it, okay? That's it. Not many, okay? Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, don't lie in class. That's a good point. Yeah, well, there we go. That's another thing. The reality is this, folks. The love of Christ is what our focus should be in. If you want maturity, that's where it starts. It doesn't start any other way, okay? Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God can do this, not us. Okay? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages and worlds without end. Amen. Keep our focus in the right place. I like what it says there. Through all ages. Okay? Until the end. Even after we are resurrected, the love of Christ is going to be a driving factor. We may have perfect bodies at that point, and we no longer stand in sin at that point, but are we going to have perfect attitudes? Yeah, I hope so. You know, but we're still going to be ourselves. And when we're up there, we need to realize that and focus on it. It's going to be amazing. And at that point, if you're not blown away by the amazing of where you're at, I can't help you. It's all in the Bible here. You can study it and learn it. When was the last time you sat quietly? Here we go. When was the last time you sat quietly and let the love and grace move over your soul? How many guys do that? I do that about once or twice a year the way I should. And usually it's I'm waiting for an airplane, I'm sitting in an airport or something. Boy, if you did that every morning, think about it. If you spent just 10 minutes every morning instead of jumping out of bed and getting busy and doing this and doing that and doing all the things you got to get done, 10 minutes, it would be wonderful. And I know it's beneficial because I've done it. Do I do it all the time? No, not even close. I'm the guy putting the fires out. I jump up and I've got the fireman hat on. I'm jumping into the pool with my hose and I'm trying to stop everything. But the reality is that moment when you quietly let the love and grace move in your soul. Very good. Could have had a V8, you know, the whole point. Very important. Let the power of God sink deep into your soul. We all need to slow down and let God be the center of our lives. We are no longer strangers, but in God's family. Do you really understand that? Because that's the reality. Okay? God's our Father. Got a problem? Let's go talk to Him. He's the one guy who can answer all the problems. You know, unlike us. He can get that done. But you know what? That's so important as we mature, getting back to what we talk about here. Maturity in Christ is not performance, it's understanding and knowledge. The more we learn, the more we understand, the more knowledge we have, the more we can give it away, the more we can share it. Understand that all of us learn and understand things differently. I have to write everything down. People are like, what's that verse? It's only four lines. You should have that memorized. I can't memorize anything. It just doesn't work for me. You know, I'm in deep trouble. I can't remember my passwords. I got computers and this and that. Like, I'm trying 6 different ones, 10 different ones. Finally, I give up and I call my employees and go, what's the password to get into the software program? And they have it written down. They're smart. They go, just a minute. Here it is. I remember nothing. So we all learn differently. You know, I really admire people who can just chime off verses right at the top of their head. I can chime off an understanding, but the verse I have to look up. Got to look it up. So we're all different. That's where I come from.
Different talents.
If I read something and I write it while I'm reading it, you know, people do that, you write things down as you read it, I'll remember it. If I don't write it down while I read it, I don't remember it. It just goes, psh, psh. You know, it's not much in between, so it just goes, sounds just like that too. Psh, psh, and out it goes. It's pretty sad. But if I'm not close to anybody else, I don't get hit by it psh, as it comes out. We're all differently. We need to understand that. We're all part of God's family. Verses Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 20. Now therefore there are no strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When Paul was teaching this, can you imagine how radical it was? All the Jews were working their way to heaven, doing all these different things. And Paul says, no, there are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Radical. Radical for then, and radical for now. Because the world does not want you to do that. The world wants you to perform. They want you to do this, do that. You're going to be a member of this church. What was it? Remember, you were teaching Sunday school in some church, and they made you sign some paper. Yeah, she believed Acts 2:38 was baptized so that she could teach class. It was like young kids' class, right? Was it like, okay, 5-year-olds, yeah. I do too. There we go. Yep, she got to teach 5-year-olds. They're all in hell now because you didn't teach them right. She did her best. And what? There we go. But how sad is it that religion keeps these people wrapped up in these systems? And people mistake maturity in Christ and performance together. If I do this for God, I must be mature. If I'm going to be a mature Christian, I got to do this and this and this. Zero to do with that. If you want to be mature in Christ, learn knowledge, understanding. So that one, you have the peace of God that passes all understanding for yourself, but also so you can give it away to others. So you can share it with others. And you might have to write things down. When you go into a meeting, I try to write an outline down. If I'm going into a meeting to talk to somebody about spirituality, I write it down. The outline is in my hand. So I don't have to try to guess where I'm going with it. Okay? All of us are different. Maturity comes from knowledge and understanding, and then being able to not only knowledge it and understand it, but then live it and be at peace and be full of joy. Everybody in this group has a great time with each other. It's a great fellowship. Everybody enjoys each other. We all joke with each other. It's a wonderful place to be because we have the love of Christ. There are a lot of churches that are not like this. They're pretty judgmental. Did he wear the best outfit today? Absolutely. Look at this. It's a clean t-shirt. What more can you ask for? I had a tie last week. I know. It's in the car. I left it in the car for emergencies, but I didn't wear it today.
Once a year.
Unless somebody dies, then I put it on twice, whatever, you know. Otherwise, I just don't wear the ties that much. But the reality is we're not judging each other. We're sharing the love of Christ. Many, many churches are about judgment. They can't come to our church. Irma's been in churches where if you weren't dressed nice enough, they'd turn you away at the door. Wow. I would have been turned away at the parking lot, or we down the street a block or two. Never. That's right. Not a chance. These shorts are very beautiful, and they're clean. Oh, how sad. How full of judgment is that, to live that way? My suit looks better than Billy's suit this week. Or I went to a movie. Billy went to a movie. We went to a movie. I don't go to movies. Okay? Or Billy. Yeah, there you go. All right. Emergency. Or here's another one. Billy plays cards. Mmm. Those tarot cards, whatever they are. judgment. The reality is we're all different. God wants us to reflect the love of Christ and not perform in some way to win favor with each other. That's not what spirituality is all about. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone of it. That's where our study comes in. That's where we start. Okay? Understand your relationship to Christ through the Apostle Paul. That all men be, what? Move on to learning. Not just be saved, but on to the knowledge of Christ. That's the important thing. Salvation starts it all. But if you don't go on to the rest of it, you're not going to mature. And you're going to be frustrated and unhappy. And lots of things are going to happen in your life that you're not going to fully understand for sure. And not be able to play out for sure in a positive way. The love of Christ needs to constrain us. Our focus, our energy. And if you don't think there's a love of Christ out there, think about where you were before you got saved. When I think about Christ on the cross and I think about God being in Christ, reconciling the world, it doesn't get any more personal than that. That's why we have to make a personal commitment, not a performance. We don't try to do this and this and this to be saved. We have to make a personal commitment, and accepting what God did is difficult, not just knowing, but accepting that for your salvation. Boom, that's what it takes. That's how you get into heaven. A lot of people know that Jesus was on the cross, and they know he died, and they know he came back from the dead. But why? And what does that mean to me personally? You need to make it personal, just like God made it as personal as possible being in Christ when he reconciled the world. I meet that same level of personality. Not in terms of personality, but personalness. Okay? I accept it because what God said is true. I accept it because I understand it. I accept it for my salvation, and it's settled. I know where I'm going. Somebody asked me, where's your future? I got it all figured out. I can tell them. And I'm at peace with it. Boy, it's a great place to be. Not in religion, but in true faith. We all have an important place in God's family, I've written down here. There's nothing more for us to fear or worry about or feel defeated about. God has chosen you. God is in control, and we simply play out his master plan. Think about that. He's got this under control. Despite all the fears I've had over the years of this or that or whatever, a million things. Hey, go through a divorce. How difficult is that? It's very difficult. It's very painful. But God had a plan, okay? We are to act on God's behalf to reach a lost world. We have been given grace and a wonderful opportunity to deliver the message of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can't understand them all, but they're all there. Are you doing it? Where is your focus? All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Okay, give you guys a chance to get there, flipping around. All right, here we go. Unto me, who am the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ. That's Paul's position. And he certainly does that. He certainly lays it out. And if we don't accept it, then it's on us. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Share that verse with your friends in religion and ask them what it means. They have no idea what that means. Oh, the mystery, I don't know, fellowship, what is that? Mystery. They have no clue. They haven't studied. They haven't taken the time. They haven't been motivated like you have to keep moving forward and not settle. They settle, and they're stuck in some church somewhere, showing up for a 20-minute sermon, passing the plate, and wearing their best suits on Sunday. Very sad, because they're not going to heaven. They have no idea what salvation really is. I've got written down, joy, peace, and love are elements of our standing in God that should rule our lives. When we are faced with decisions, these elements should affect our direction. God set an example for us by giving us his grace freely. We should always be motivated by that. Okay? These elements should affect our decisions. If you don't know where to go, pray about it, study about it, and give it 3 days. And you'll end up in the right place. At the very bottom here, it can't get any better, and that's true. That's the reality, folks. It doesn't get any better. Thank God and keep your focus on reaching others with the message of the grace of God, which creates joy and peace in your life and can also in their life. It's really that simple. It's not complex. Don't make it difficult. We try to make it that way. And don't feel uncomfortable writing down an outline. Here's the things I want to talk to you about, and here's why. And you go through it. And you look them up in the Bible with them. And you go through the verses. And if they ask you, why do you do the outline? Because that's the way my brain thinks. I can't remember everything, so I tend to write it down. Because it's important, and I want you to understand it. Everybody's different. Everybody find your niche. Find your way to share the love of Christ with others. And be standing there ready when they go, why do you do this? Because that's what they'll ask. Why do you do this? Well, let me tell you, I'm reflecting the love of Christ. Let me share some stuff with you. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? They're going to ask. If you do something that's way out of line for people, they're going to go, why are you doing this? What's your motive? Okay? And unfortunately, if you're a guy and it's a woman you're doing it for, they have a very negative motive, okay, in their minds. Yeah, okay, I get it. Okay, sure. No, no, honestly, this is where we're at, you know. It's more difficult for a guy to do something for a woman than it is any other way. Just because of society and the way the world is. But that doesn't mean you don't do it. You just make sure you have the right information with you when you get a chance to talk about it. And yes, are you going to get taken advantage of? Bingo, air conditioner. Remember that story? We're shaking her head. Sad. We don't need to get into it. But it's sad. It's going to happen. But that's okay. That is okay. Because we're okay. Yesterday, that's what it was. We go to the Coffee Cup. Do you know where that restaurant is in Pensacola?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, from the 50s, 40s, whatever, you know. The ladies are like right out of central casting, you know, from the 50s that work there. Anyway, we got to the counter. We were talking. And we got talking to the lady at the counter. And she goes, yeah, there's some old people that come in there that are now single. Their spouses have passed on. And they come there to reminisce about the place and, you know, get a chance to eat there. And I said, here's some more money. Pay for some more meals next time they come in. I'll never see that. I'll never see anything other. You know, somebody's going to get a meal paid for. And they go, where did that happen for? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But somebody cared about them. Somebody did something nice for them. Because in their lives at this point, they're dealing with a lot of stress and a lot of pain. So things are the opportunities. You know, what's $20? You know, I'll go make some more money. You know, that's probably the benefit of being an entrepreneur. When you do run out of money, you go make some more. You go figure out a way to do it. Yeah, I wish I could print it. That would be a lot easier. Anyway, all right, so let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunities we have to share the love of Christ with others and help them to see what this salvation is all about, that it's not about performance. It's not about being good. It's not about being good enough to be saved. It's not about performing to be saved. It is to accept the finished work of Christ. Give us the words when these opportunities come up. Help us if we need to write down a short little simple outline that we can have available in our wallet, we can pull out or whatever, to help us say this and share this with other people so they can understand it as well. Give each of us the opportunity this week to share the love of Christ in some way, in some fashion, in your name. Amen.
Let's take a break.